Marcus, like, you've skied there. I know you've skied well there. How is it that, like, Swiss always produces?
That's a good question. We both skied. We both skied there. It's a phenomenal site. That lake is quite tight, actually. It's very narrow. The course is up against one side.
Yeah, if you're coming back from the far end, like especially ball one, ball three, you're kind of like barreled under the trees. It's insane.
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, it just skis really nice. So no skis islands. So you just go straight in, but it's got a It has a reputation for being a really solid place to ski. My heartstrings are always connected to Swiss because the water ski magazine event that Todd put on was there. So
yeah,
I got to run 39 cold there, and it's one of my favorite lakes. I got to qualify for the US Open there. So I know you had some solid performances there as well.
No, I skied well there. That was like, that same water ski magazine shootout. I won the team pro-am portion of it. So Swiss Pro, the start of our family, they had an amazing trick event a couple weeks ago, and then this weekend we had, it's funny, like this was kind of an upstart tournament a few years ago. This is, I think, the ninth version of it, ninth anniversary of it. And it has like this, it isn't the first tournament of the year anymore, luckily, which is kind of cool, but it always seemed to serve as, hey, this is what everyone's been doing all winter. Like, come check this out. So Swiss Pro, Marcus, let's just start with takeaways. We'll get into the results and we'll wrap this up nice and clean. So if you didn't get a chance to watch it yet, you're obviously going to go back hopefully and watch on the Water Ski Pro Tour, the condensed version, the highlight show, the highlight reel is already up. So go give it a watch if you haven't watched it yet. But what stood out for you, Marcus, as a water skier yourself?
I mean, there's a lot. I don't think there's any way to cover this in the short amount of time, but I'll say one thing. The girls and the guys side, men and women, there's some names, some names that you would expect and some names you wouldn't expect. For instance, Jaime Palomino, runs 39, second time, I think, maybe according to Kyle Ead. Oh, by the way, I'll say Kyle Ead, even Corey, and of course, Tony, phenomenal job on the mic all day, 11 and a half. It was 11 hours and 55 minutes of webcasting. So that's a lot. That's a lot of time to be talking. And those guys killed it. It's cool to see Kiwi involved. It's cool to see Corey stepping in, even though I'd rather see him on the water. And so Jaime Palomino. That was pretty cool. You saw Stevie Island run 39 on the guys' again. Side. There's 19 guys look like that ran 39. That's huge. Yeah. On the women's side, Neely Ross ran 39 or 38 both rounds. Mm-hmm. And Paige should have ran 38 both rounds.
She looks amazing right now. When there's like,
her
if there's
one, 3-5.
Oh my gosh.
No other woman has that solid of an onside.
Her acceleration is insane, and her the changes visibly that she's made on her gate setup in the last 2 years, obviously has that's what I key in on the first. There's a few athletes like this, but when you can just watch them and you're like, these scores are about to be a lot different. Meaning they're going to climb quickly. She's right at that mark. I think the other one for me, if you're just, Jamie Calhoun making that final, like that's a hard final to make. And, Jamie running 3:41 and the cool thing is, he's working full time. He's training on his own. He put a course in on a little local lake himself. He taught his girlfriend how to drive, perhaps that's his wife now. Yeah. I apologize if I messed that up. But
it's his wife, I believe. But
so Todd's wife had a drive, and he's skiing on his own. And it's really, really cool.
But he's not just like squeaking in. If you watch Jamie's rounds, you can tell, just like you said about Paige, you can tell there's more in the fuel tank, and you can tell that he's about ready to have a breakthrough moment, potentially. I think the biggest problem for people is at this level, honestly, is the between the ears. It's the mental game. Yeah. It's getting out of your own way. And I think if Jamie can keep that at bay, we're going to see some big things from him for sure.
There's
I don't know, man. If you look at the women and the men, there were some disappointments. I wouldn't call them disappointments. They're surprises. Let's look at the top.
Where?
Well, look at the top. You've got Nate, Freddie, Rob, Will, for the guys. You got Regina, Whitney, Jamie, Allie. There's no surprises there. There's some rock solid skiers, and you just expect that. But on the women's side, Allie Garcia didn't run 38 either round. Sam, came back. Samantha Dumala, she came back and wasn't able to get through 38. Elizabeth, Beatrice fell off first round early. And I think one of the things, and this is just a technical idea, but one of the things that humans are really good at is you can identify shapes really well. And everybody looks very similar when they ski. Styles are great. But what you can't identify is relationship necessarily of the ski to the body. And I think one of my biggest takeaways from the weekend, I'm a little bummed at Tony. Tony's was a great skier in his own time, but he talks a lot about the ski getting behind people. And in my opinion, the problem is the ski is in front of a lot of people.
Thank you.
Too much.
Thank you. Yes. Okay.
People are on the back of the ski a lot. For Elizabeth's on the back of the ski on her offside. And it's not like there's a fundamental error. It's just, the dynamics are there, the movement's there, the shape is there, but it's positional. Water skiing's positional. If you're not in the right position on the ski when the load comes, you're not going to go anywhere. Yes. Same with Sam.
For sure. And same with Elizabeth. The timing required is just so exact for you to be able to still be
so
ahead
precise.
Of your feet. Yeah, when the load comes. That. And maybe that's beginning, maybe that's early season stuff. You mentioned Allie.
I think it is.
She's been trying new skis and in college and so for the people that weren't skiing full time through the winter, because of other obligations, work, school, family, perhaps, it rears its head there a little bit.
Yeah.
So
it's a great point to put it in perspective. Yeah. You're exactly right. This is the first tournament of the season. It's not like the biggest. And I do think we saw kind of the signs of just people dusting the cobwebs off, basically.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah. Yeah. On the women's side of things. So Allie, 4.5 at 38 in the final. So, obviously it wasn't the final showing that she wanted. But second event of the year, third, if you include Moomba, it's like you said, that leaderboard stacked up kind of where we thought it would. Jamie Bull, 2.5 at 39 in the final. So she's, she took third spot on the podium. And then for me, we talk about moment of the tournament. Well, for me, of all the good skiing over that 12-hour period, it was the last two women slalom skiers. Regina goes out, runs 2 at 41. And then top seed, Whitney McClintock. So I believe she has a Canadian record at, 2.25. It's semantics. She was either going to have to tie her PB to win or break her PB to win. But regardless, knowing, having spoke with Whitney through the winter and knowing what her goal set is for the season. And this wasn't, it wasn't as tall a task as perhaps the commentators were making it seem like.
True.
Meaning when she left the dock, she wasn't like, gulp, I've got a PB to win. Like she was, knowing how she's been skiing, she was like, gulp, okay, I'm just going to go do exactly what I've been doing every day for the last month. She's skiing incredibly well. And if you watched her start at 41, go back and, if you haven't seen it, obviously go watch the highlight show that's up today. While she put some negative input at the turn and created a bunch of static, it wasn't because she was on the wrong line. She turned in on her gate and my eyes got big because I'm like, uh-oh, this is where she wants to be right now. But she fell a little short, 1.25. And even that 1.25, like she had the line to S turn. I almost feel like I feel like perhaps, and I'm only because I've done this before, I think maybe at that moment when she went to set up the S turn, which is, you know, is a long pull, let the ski kind of arc out late and then take up the slack, I kind of think that she might have been had that little bit of deflated, like, ugh, I blew that start, I'm gonna have to go for the tie, because I don't feel like she lost the handle because she didn't have the space. I feel like she lost the handle because there was just a slight pause, a glitch. You know what I mean?
Yep. I agree. She ended up, back to your point.
She ended up second.
Timing. Timing's key at this that level. At the elite level, it comes down to timing and how you move your body relative to the boat, the ski, the rope, where you're at. But I think you're right. That was a moment for sure. Because those women, both of them, had skied so well at the King of Darkness. Yes. Whitney had not missed 39 four rounds, King of Darkness. And she had skied four rounds, her and Regina. So yeah, a lot of skiing, and for her to, you know, I said it in the previous podcast, I think she's looking probably the best I've ever seen her look on her ski.
I agree. And if, you know, I worked with Greg on an issue of his water ski journal this winter, and I wrote a editorial on Whitney, and she clearly stated, you know, that her intent now moving forward, obviously with, it's a world's year and da da da, but she said her number one goal is to run 41 in a tournament. So,
wow.
You know, when you openly state something like that,
here we go.
Yeah, dude. Like that's like, if the running track in my mind for this entire season is, would like drop everything and watch what Whitney's about to do. Because again, she left that dock looking super, super confident. Well, and then over to the, go ahead.
I was going to say one last thought. I think, and it's totally probably overkill, but to your point, I feel like one of the biggest things I saw was a lot of people pulling long, skiers pulling long.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
to your point, at 41, you're in the finals, you're Whitney, you know, you need to get a piece of three, and you want to make sure you get a round one. It's really hard to not over pull or pull too long at 41. But the problem is it's so critical. You've got to set yourself up to be able to come through the backside of one without the boat, you know, still being there and having the boat moving away from you. And I think she just overcooked it. But to your point, she's hungry. You can tell she's had a lot of starts at 41, and I'm excited to see where the season goes.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Well, yeah, because, you know, Regina looks as comfortable on the current ski she's on as I've ever seen her look. You know, like there wasn't a lot of searching around trying to find the right place for her to stand. Like I think she's really confident in her setup. So yes, that's going to be an amazing season battle. No doubt, especially when you know, you're going to sprinkle in Jamie and then, Allie's, you know, on such a surge right now too. Then over to the guy's side of thing, that's probably the only spot where there was, you know, I don't want to say a surprise, but like kind of a, heck yeah, like kind of, you know, with Rob Hazelwood getting up into third spot. So in the finals, it shook out Will Asher, who, you know, looks, the last couple of years, his early season skiing has been amazing. But Will ended up with a three. Rob Hazelwood ended up with a three. Fred Winter, 3.5. And then, you know, Nate came out in the end. And you know, he needed four. And it's just never, it's, you know, sometimes you'll make it seem like it's a gimme, but it's never, you know, four is never a gimme. I mean, the you know, you
no.
It's not one of those things where you can get an okay start and then go into maintenance. So you've got to get a good to somewhere between good to really good start if you're going to, you know, if you're going to get a full four. But yeah, I think, you know, Rob Hazelwood, he ran a 3.25 in the prelims. And then that's a big podium. You know what I mean? Like at a tournament like Swiss, where the scores are going to be insanely high and insanely consistent. You know, it's not a shock in that, you know, we all know how good he's become in the last year and a half, but that's, you could see the excitement. Like that was he didn't take it for granted. That was probably you know, one of the highlights of the weekend.
Yeah. So speaking of highlights, for me, really the highlight of the event, probably the biggest highlight was Rob Hazelwood, consistently getting through 39 and showing up in the finals with a 3 at 41 to kind of ensure a podium spot. It's big for Rob. You know, I've worked with him offline. I worked with him for the last couple of years, and to see him kind of find a new platform to ride with a new O2 and to feel it out in a tournament in real time and to see it kind of be there for him. You can just tell he's enjoying it. He said it when he was interviewed by Wade. He's like, this is fun. I'm having fun. And I think we can't forget that. At the end of the day, that's why we do the sport. So for me, that was a highlight. That was a big highlight to see Rob wiggle into the top three. But also, honestly, if I'm being serious, that the real true highlight is seeing Will Asher doing what he's doing. Honestly.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of Mapple and T-Gas. Will Asher, T-Gas, and Parrish. Damn.
Yeah. Yes. There's another one. Yeah. Yeah. Honestly. CP running 39, making it look like 2009 out there.
Yeah. Amazing. I know. Let's be real, dude. Nate goes out. We know he's probably going to do what he does. You know, he's just, Will's out there looking like he's just enjoying, he's messing around. He's trying to figure it out. He's in the twilight of his career, but he's not slowing down. Fred's charging. Nate looks like he's just out there to like, he's got something to continually prove. I don't know what it is, but he's the best. He's the best there's ever been.
Yes.
But yes. I don't know if he's trying to fill a hole or something with these wins, but he's an animal. Somebody's got to get in front of him to stop him. But
it's yes.
But with
go ahead.
I was going to say what I see is I see somebody who was there. He was trying to fill a hole with these wins and these events. And now I see him onto a different path, and it's cool to see him charge and challenge, but not necessarily have it consume him completely. And he's over 40. And he's still doing it. So
that's like a widely held sentiment too. I mean, everyone I talk to is really enjoying watching Will do what Will does, and you know, and that's kind of the thing, right? Where all these guys are going to have to be, not maxed out for some of them, but they're gonna have to ski so well if they're gonna topple that top spot. You know, like we just watched Nate last year. I might be a little off in this, but I'm quite certain that he won every tournament he entered. You know, so and you talked about timing. Like I think like what stands out when I watch Nate is just insane timing. You know, like he never hits the gas before it's time to hit the gas. He never carries long unless there's this scenario where he needs to. Like the timing is incredible. Amazing event. The highlights are up on the Waterski Pro Tour YouTube channel. Check it out because again, all the angles. It's a visual treat just to watch what the Waterski Broadcasting Company has done. So couple events in the Klipsch Audio leaderboard is starting to take some shape. We got, you know, on the guy side of thing, Nate is in top spot, 86 points, with Fred and Will bunched up behind them at 60 and 57 points. So, you know, if this is going to be a battle for second spot, you know, it's obviously way too early in the season to make that kind of an assumption, but you know, like we talked about Nate being Nate, he's going to be a hard guy to beat. And then on the women's side of thing, obviously 1 and 2, Whitney at 77, Regina at 74 points. So, you know, again, world champion Jamie Bowles at 55, there's already a bit of separation, a bit of gap there, but you know, one win and this whole thing gets kind of shook up a little bit. So, I mean, it's going to be cool, you know, moving forward, June 3rd, the Lake 38 event, up in the panhandle of Florida. So a few weeks away, but, you know, already an exciting season shaping up.
Yeah. It's going to be killer, dude. This is a crazy way to start the event or start the season rather in America, with the 1-2 punch of King of Darkness and Swiss. So exciting event. If you haven't seen the highlights, go check it out, obviously on the YouTube channel. I'm stoked to be here. It's fun.
Yeah. Nope, coming up a couple more weeks, we'll be back.